Thanks, Ian. I can't start commenting on that. I think I have to start to apologize for not using my first language in this presentation, but the comfort must be that it wouldn't be any more a reason for you to hear it in Norwegian. But it's a little bit difficult for me. I will do my best, and I hope that I can bring through to you my passion for this work, for moving healthcare from the question, what's the matter, to what matters to you. And I hope I can bring you a clear image of what that change means in Norway. And I know what matters to you is a question that means quite a lot in Scotland as well. I've been listening to Jason Leach, yes, for several times, entertaining and insightful about quality improvement work in Scotland, and I'm impressed of a lot of work going on here. I always learn when I hear the presentations from Scotland. I always also seen a short movie at YouTube about reablement program here in Glasgow, which was very impressive, and we have a similar program in Norway with reablement, small units in the municipalities that work strongly on the health-promoting activities for elderly and chronically diseased people. What we are trying to do is move the perspective from those small units to the whole healthcare system in the municipalities. A little bit of the context. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Norway, but it actually is quite similar to Scotland with the size of population. But when it comes to healthcare structure, it's a strange structure. The hospitals are organized in four regional healthcare authorities, and it's quite linear to follow all the way down to the units. Not easy to run, but still to follow down. The municipalities in Norway is a number of 428. Less of them, more than 50% with a population less than 5,000 inhabitants. Each of them independently run by a political governance. Only 12 of the 428 municipalities has more than 50,000, and the organizational structure is very different from municipality to municipality. The GPs are working independently as private business, but are bound to contracts to the municipality, which is hard to run in details. And what was the reason that we started this program, trying to shift from what's the matter to what matters to you? This is a picture that you are familiar with in Scotland as well. In Norway, we see that the shift started in November 2012. Then we had 625,000 elderly above 67. In 2050, there is going to be more than double of this, maybe as much as triple at the age of 80 and above. So this knowledge about the new third age, which is about a new group, when my 20, 30 years ago, you grew up and you had a working life, and then you became old and you got sick and you died after a few years. That's the picture. It looked like this. So we're going to try to start building a new system. And Paul Batalden has said, every system is perfectly designed to give exactly the results it gives, which is a good saying, because then we know that the system we have today is not being sustainable for the coming years. So we have to change the system. Are we going to bring years to life or life to years? And what we will try to achieve is to bring the more health to the third age. And what is really interesting is the level of care. When do the care, official care, start for elderly people? And maybe even more interesting, what care starts and with what results? I was trained as a nurse to find out what the patient couldn't do by himself or herself and then compensate on that. Go into the life and make sure that those things were taken care of. I'm not sure if that's the same situation in Scotland. I'm not sure if you get the same training in Scotland, but nurses in Norway are familiar with this change. And the good thing about that story is when we start talking about how can we be more health promoting, how can we reach out to the patients with new questions, it seems to hit both head and heart. But it still is a change. So how long the time the care will be there is going to decide if the system is going to be sustainable or not. And there is some talks about in Norway that it doesn't look as bad as it seems. It looks like that it's possible to give more health to the third age than we could be scared of when we first heard about the tsunami. So if we should give a new system to the healthcare and to the patients, what would it look like in Norway? Well, we had opportunity on building this program, the change from what's the matter to what matters to you, building on a pilot. Here you have two articles being written about six municipalities in Norway who developed a system with whole pathways in home. And they build on functioning level, they plan their pathway on function and not on diagnosis. And that's a huge difference between hospital thinking and municipality thinking. You get into a hospital normally because of one disease, one diagnose, but when you get home, you have to live with all four or five diseases at the same time. And the functioning level becomes more important than this one diagnose. So what did we do with this? We invited the municipalities to take part in the learning collaborative, and they came with 4 to 7 representatives, leaders, healthcare workers, nurses, some doctors, not very many, but some doctors, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, and some brought their user. And they were invited into a program where they should develop a new pathway. And that new pathway was described in a checklist. You're not supposed to read this, but you can maybe find it later and see if you recognize it compared with your pathways. But it contains the first meeting with a patient. It contains the planning of admission from hospital. And it contains the first meeting in a home for the patient or in the short stay institution in the municipality for elderly people. And how we start this planning of action, the program for care, the pathway, asking the question what matters to you. And then it's about following up. Our minister talks quite a lot about what matters to you, and he says it's really important not only to ask the question, but to plan and follow up on what you planned. And then we have put in the pathway, the GP's role in the pathway, which is very important. We see that in Norway, the visits at the GP's office drops radically at the age of 83. We are not quite sure about why, but I think home care takes care of a lot. I think they make sure that the recipes get written one more and more over and over without being to a medical consultation. And that is not very good. That's why the patient safety program in Norway works on medication issues. And then 4 weeks later, after we first asked the question, what matters to you, we asked the question again. And I come back to the content of the question and how we program that. So what we see is that the great challenge is this mind shift. And I think it's important to see that we are trained to ask the question, what's the matter? We are trained to find what the patient cannot do by himself or herself, and then to compensate with actions. And to ask the question, what matters to you, brings a new concept of understanding knowledge. Because we are experts, and we used to think about ourselves as experts that know what to do for the patient. And when you know what to do for the patient because of your expertise, you tend to forget to listen. So that's what we tried to work on. A more health-promoting service, a stronger patient involvement in planning of care, and it can't be done by any top-down solutions. It can only be created bottom-up. But it can be supported, and it could be strengthened by strategies from the national level. And I think that's what we have got in Norway in this case. So we ask ourselves if we do what we have planned to do, what we have promised the patients to do by this checklist. So if we do up to 100%, then we know that we have done what we promised to do. But what we see is that the change of direction is very difficult. Moving from what's the matter to what matters to you, the challenging shift of dialogue is about a new role for healthcare workers. It's the defining of a new expertise, and that expertise is the patient as an expert on themselves. So we are the expert as nurse or doctor, but the patient are the expert on what can bring energy, bring change into the patient's life. So we had to do something to do to help the nurses, the doctors with this issue, and we came up with a motivating interview that you probably are familiar with, and we made 10 movies, each on 4.5 minutes, with a dialogue with two nurses that had practiced that change of dialogue. And one of the oldest, most experienced nurses tells a story in the first movie, how she, in her car on her way to visit the patient, had read the records, and she knows exactly what's going to be done in that home before she has even met the person. And she says in a very nice way how this gave new meaning to her and how this change of dialogue gave more meaning to her work when she really had to see that there were two experts in the room when she visited the patient. So we measure the experience, the effect on what matters to you question. What matters to you is followed by a theme that some of you may be familiar with called patient-specific functioning scale, which is an occupational therapist tool to develop. We asked the patient what matters to you, what function matters to you. Could be physical, could also be social. And then we ask them to measure how well do you function in that area from 0 to 10. And then 4 weeks later, we ask the same question, and we ask, how well do you function now? So there we can see, is there any effect in the service? Is there an effect of what we are doing? And to be honest, in Norway, the service tend to develop by itself. So this evaluation, you may be better than us on that area, but to really test and find, do this mission we work on, do it work? Does it work in this home or not? And if not, maybe we should do something else. So what matters to you? This is a picture I love. Maybe some of you have seen it before. It's from a hospice unit in Stockholm. It's a policeman. And someone has to ask, have asked the policeman what matters to you, because his police horse is there the day she died. He died, sorry. And to bring this perspective, because when we work on system like this, very broad system involving so many services, it's very easy to be technical. But what really means something is to be personal and to focus on individuals. So I give you two examples. The first is a woman calling to the municipality service office, and she says, I want to apply for home care. And through the records, the nurse can see immediately she has chronic obstructive lung disease. She's had it for several years. She obviously is a good person to get home care. But they have joined this program, and they have developed the knowledge about the question, what matters to you? So they decide to go to home visit. And when they come to the home visit and they ask her the question, what matters to you? She tells a different story. She says, I'm lonely. I'm actually doing the housekeeping myself, but I'm lonely. So they change the plans for this care from being home care to transportation to the elderly center. And she scores herself what matters to you at the level of 3, because she's lonely and the issue is that loneliness. And 4 weeks later, she scores herself at 9, having non-home care in the meantime, which I think is a very good example of how we should try to approach our patients in a different way. Another example, 4th of June, we have What Matters to You Day in Norway now. What Matters to You Day? Because this question is very hard to bring into the services, because it's a cultural shift in Norway. And 4th of June is the What Matters to You Day. 4th of June, a doctor sits in an acute unit for the institution for elderly people in her municipality, and she's wearing this button. This button says, what matters to you in Norwegian? And in comes a 67-year-old farmer together with his wife. In November 2013, he got diagnosed of lung cancer, and it's rapidly developing. And when he comes into the office 4th of June, the doctor sees immediately this is really, really moved on. And it's a terminal case. And she thinks, because 4th of June is the day we're supposed to have dialogue with all our patients about what matters to you. And she thinks, well, maybe I should skip it now and stick to the clinical issues. It's obvious I have to talk about rest, talk about pain, talk about nutrition, and also talk about how this is for him and her his wife. But then the GP decides to say, well, we have this day, you know, and it's What Matters to You Day. So I just ask you, what matters to you? And this 67-year-old farmer starts crying very heavily. And after a short while, he gets himself together and stare at the doctor and says, no one has ever asked me that question before. And what happened from that moment was magical. The change that had, not on nutrition, not on how they followed up on pain, not on the rest, because he stayed all the nights from that moment at the nursing institution for old people, but he said, what matters to me is that I want to have one more night at my cabin. And the family knew that being at the cabin meant having time to be together as family. Because he was working all hours as a farmer, but on the cabin, they were together as family. And to see the change, the energy that gave to the program for that doctor, the nurses, and they used less resources on this because he came home all day waiting to see if it was possible to drive to the cabin up in a mountain, seeing his son working on the fields instead of staying in a bed at the nursing institution. That probably had happened if he wasn't asked the question, what matters to you? So it's not only about reablement. It's the whole way of thinking care and the whole way of accepting that this is an individual issue. It's not a program only to follow up the clinical status. So I'd be interested to know, have everyone got a button? In your organization, I'm so curious about the differences between Norway and Scotland. Maybe some of you should talk about this because of the Scottish system. In your organization, do you ask service users what's the matter or what matters to you? You press one if it's what's the matter, and two, what matters to you. That looks very like the Norwegian status, I think. Because there is a lot positive going on. And there are good pilots on this. And reablement is doing really, really well for us to lift this issue. But I still see you have some struggles to go through. Have you established strategies to change the dialogue? One, yes, we have established strategies. Two, yes, we are at the development stage. Three, no, but we want to create strategies. Or four, no, we have no thought about it yet. Now, I would like you to share the next 3 minutes together, two and two. Share the most powerful part of this strategy or what matters to you example with your neighbor. Because the strongest tool we have in this program in Norway is storytelling. To bring the story, the possibility of a different system to other co-workers. So please share with your neighbor, or you could be several sharing, but only 3 minutes. Because I could drop the story about the farm.
No, no. That's it. That would be it. Oh, no, we'll get the people out here. And then you go into the street. And then I'll come in and then you.
My mum is for the farm.
Yeah.
You cut the question.
No. We're fine. We're fine. We'll get them a couple more minutes. We'll get them. And what you do is you just take you're sharing with a different scenario, and they get feedback, and then you segue into what you said is I've already quoted a lot of the interest is here. And I've stuck with chief of the chief executive of the health service all day. So I've hashtagged them. So I'm interested to see what your response will be. So you're surprised me now, ever since like.
Yeah. I mean, like, and you know, that's wrong.
I knew you would like it, and I was, when I came to say, when I came to say to you, I was just to try and make sure everybody's trying to pay. That's something about, I mean, you know, it's a good day. It's always good to see so many at the end of the day. But we'll get them finished now. Okay, Anderson, pull them to order.
Yeah. Looks like a very good energy. I'm sorry to say that we are actually running a little bit out of time. There won't be very much time for questions, but if someone would like to give me some comment or have a question, I know there is a lot of things that I have not explained properly, but hopefully you got a picture of what this is about. And if there is any questions, feel free, or comments.
Anders will be here at the end of the session as well, if anybody wants to talk to him.
Yeah, definitely. There is one hand. I think you were the first. Is there a microphone?
Just stand and shout. Yeah, I can hear you.
So I just wanted to ask, what if one of the patients says to you, what matters to me is my housing problem? Do your health professionals do something about that?
Housing problem? To understand it correctly, it's about changing environment.
Yes, because we know from research on social determinants.
That definitely is an issue, especially in the small municipalities where most elderly people seem to live in houses, not flats. So it's very important to help elderly people to plan better for their last years, to move to flats, to apartments, and some municipalities also try to build and offer better housing for elderly people, and you know the distance in Norway. It's a vast country, and a lot of people live very long away from the center, from help if something happens. So yes, it's an important issue. I'm not sure if it was a good answer, but best I could do. I wonder if. Should we go to the closure? Because my I live in one of the municipalities that actually take part in this program. And once when I was visiting my mom, who's developing dementia, and she lives in her own flat, in a good one. And I was telling her what I was supposed to do the next day. I was going to meet 100 nurses and to help them to start up with the change from what's the matter to what matters to you, and start using the checklist. And I explained to her, and she said, and I asked her, what matters to you, Mom? That is to have you kids around, she answered. It was not about the home care or the health service. And I wasn't satisfied with that, so I asked again. And she said, to clean. And she has a granddaughter coming. It used to be my daughter, but now it's a cousin of her, another granddaughter. So the first two answers was not about the public service. It was about us. And I think it's important to finish with this, because I had to supply to her list to follow up on nutrition is important, Mom, and to put on the bandage and help sort out medicine is important, and to help you to shower, to manage the shower. But the first two things, most important things for her, was us. And I think in the future, it means so much that we are able to bring out to the public that the public care is not enough. So, what matters to me? To be able to help you with the economy, the groceries, making meals together, having meals together, and helping you rehabilitate after you fell. And she came into the unit, short stay unit for elderly, and we set up a team so that she was training in the afternoons and in the weekends, where we know that the service was not there for her. And that's very important, to make sure that we as a network, as her family, are very much a part of what matters to her and what brings good service and good program in her daily life. And the last thing is that I want to hear you play at Christmas. And now you're going to hear. So it's all about developing pathways that can see individuals. Thank you for your attention.